Welcome, my friends. Isn't it strange how time can go by so quickly and so slowly all at the same time? Just know how much you are loved and missed. Let's center together with a word of prayer as we begin our worship today. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, as the days pass, we keep praying for answers and for an end to the chaos that has invaded our lives. A part of us wishes we could turn back the clock to what seemed to be a better time, a more normal time. But we also realize that change is needed. And the only thing we can change is ourselves. So as we gather today, we pray that you would calm our hearts and open us to the new thing you're doing. Give us the strength and courage to follow the path you set before us. Help us to center in you and increase our faithfulness. May we never doubt you. And on this day, we thank you for those who have gone before us in their faithfulness. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who so faithfully support the ministries you've called us to. And we pray that all might be blessed and kept healthy and safe. We pray especially for those who are going through challenging times right now, that they may feel your love and feel supported in their journey. We pray that you'll keep the connections between us alive and strong in spite of physical distance, even as you kept it strong with Paul from a prison cell so many years ago. And now may we center in you and be fed and encouraged during our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now let's welcome Nathan Drake as he leads in word and song.
But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover him with favor as with a shield. Let's worship. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown.
lesson today comes from Isaiah 25, verses 1 through 10. Hear God's word. God, you are my God. I celebrate you. I praise you. You've done your share of miracle wonders, well thought out plans, solid and sure. Here you've reduced the city to rubble, the strong city to a pile of stones. The enemy big city is a non-city, never to be a city again. Superpowers will see it and honor you. Brutal oppressors bow in worshipful reverence. They'll see that you take care of the poor, that you take care of poor people in trouble, provide a warm, dry place in bad weather, provide a cool place when it's hot. Brutal oppressors are like a winter blizzard, and vicious foreigners like a high noon in the desert. But you shelter from the storm and shade from the sun, shut the mouths of the big mouth bullies. But here on this mountain, God of the angel armies will throw a feast for all the people of the world, a feast of the finest foods, a feast with vintage wines, a feast of seven courses, a feast lavish with gourmet desserts. And here on this mountain, God will banish the pall of doom hanging over all peoples, the shadow of doom darkening all nations. Yes, he'll banish death forever. And God will wipe the tears from every face. He'll remove every sign of disgrace from his people, wherever they are. Yes, God says so. Also at that time, people will say, look what's happened. This is our God. We waited for him, and he showed up and saved us. This God, the one we waited for, let's celebrate and sing the joys of his salvation. God's hand rests on this mountain. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Back in 1981, as my world was falling apart, a book came out that not surprisingly caught my attention. Titled When Bad Things Happen to Good People by Rabbi Harold S. Kushner, it was in response to his own personal tragedy. His son, Aaron, had died early in life due to a rare disease which causes premature aging. And in his own crisis of faith, he wrote the book, he said, for people who've been hurt by life. Note that he was asking not why bad things happen, but suggesting a way to think about the bad things in life and a way to respond when they do. Because reality is, it's not an if, but a when. We all go through painful times. And it's hard to admit, and it's hurtful, and it's difficult. And typically our first question in those challenging times tends to be, why? Why? But Rabbi Kushner suggests that focusing only on the why can be a kind of trap, which can actually just increase our pain. There's no question that most of the sources of our pain are out of our control. We didn't cause the pandemic, for example. But it's also important to remember that we do have more choices than we think in how we respond to those situations and to our suffering. And in some situations, without even realizing it, we can actually add to our suffering. George S. Johnson tells of a doctor who received a call late one night to come to a hospital. Someone was near death and they needed a doctor's attention or death was certain. Well, the hospital was 30 miles away in another town, but the doctor got dressed and he took off in his car. And then at a stoplight, a man just jumped into his car and he pulled a gun and he told the doctor, "Get out! I need your car. Get out. That was all he said. Obviously, the doctor got out, and he had to find another way to get to the hospital, but he was determined to get there. When he finally arrived, the nurse met him and sadly told him the woman had just died. You're too late, doctor, but could you go and say a word to the husband? He's weeping uncontrollably in the family lounge. And so the doctor did. When he entered the lounge, he found the husband in a corner. And to his great surprise, he discovered that the husband was the very man who pulled the gun on him because he needed the car. Now, think about it. He actually pushed out the doctor, the one who could have possibly saved his wife's life. Sadly, sometimes we too push out of our lives the very thing that can help us. And in doing so, we can harm not only ourselves, but others. Would his wife have survived if the doctor had gotten there in time? We don't know. But we do know that in the husband's desperation, in his need to be in control, he lost the one hope for her survival. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how often do we push God out of our lives in a need to be in control? And how often do we think that we know better than God and totally miss God's saving plan for us? Sometimes, too, there are gifts in front of us that we just don't even see. Consider the old legend of a fisherman who lived on the banks of a river and walking home with his eyes half closed one evening after a hard day's work, he was dreaming what he could do if he were just rich. And as he walked along, his foot struck against a leather pouch that was filled with what seemed to him just small stones. Absentmindedly, he picked up the pouch and he began throwing the pebbles into the water one by one. "When I'm a rich man," he said to himself, "I'll have a large house." And he threw another pebble into the water. "My wife and I will have servants and rich food and many fine things." And he threw another pebble into the water. This went on and on until just one stone was left. And as he held it in his hand, a ray of light caught it and it made it sparkle. And he suddenly realized that he was not throwing out just pebbles, just ordinary stones, but valuable gems. He was throwing away real riches right in his hand while he dreamed of unreal riches in the future. As Richard F. Fairchild notes, this legend can summarize our situation. The value of the kingdom of God is right before us if we will but realize. You know, as we look at our own situations and as we worry about our circumstances, we too have to ask ourselves, are we focusing on the wrong things without even knowing it? Are we somehow missing the wealth God has already given us, unable to see it? What jewels are we throwing away without even realizing it? You know, this reading from Isaiah is a reminder of how generation after generation, we humans stray from God, chasing after those things that don't really matter and either pushing out or refusing to see those things that do. And the cost can be great. Marius Lautenschlager reminds us that the prophet Isaiah and the people of Judah were experiencing a topsy-turvy world of turmoil, just as we are today. And the prophet Isaiah describes a future time when God's reign will defeat heavenly and earthly enemies. Judgment will take place, followed by full restoration. Isaiah is excited about the future God holds for us. And he paints an exquisite portrait of this bountiful table prepared for us in the kingdom of God. Once again, the land, he says, will produce an abundance, and no one will ever again leave the table still hungry, not physically and not spiritually. And Isaiah sees visions of salvation for all people, not just a select few, but for all the people of God's creation in all the world. The vision climaxes with a declaration that the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces. And the people will proclaim that this is the Lord for whom we've waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. A compassionate and loving God will reach out with a tissue and gently dry the tears streaming down our cheeks. As we try to wrap our brains around what is happening in the world, why there is so much suffering, as we try to understand even the crises in our own lives, our personal challenges, there is hope in these words from Isaiah. First, we're reminded that we are not God. That seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? And yet, too often, we feel like we have to come up with situations and solutions, that we have to fix everything. And we're devastated, or we can feel like a failure when we can't do it. We also need to remember that as we're not God, we are God's children, and that we're given a promise that God never abandons his children, that God cares for us, God loves us, God wants the best for us. And God truly is our rock, our source of strength, our source of stability, and so worthy of our trust. But we also need to remember that our lives here are short. Our time here is short. But the end of these lives is not the end of our real lives, and not the end of our time with God. The banquet lies ahead. We also reminded that we're not the first to go through a world of turmoil and evil. In fact, we can't look at history without seeing it over and over and over. Of course, that doesn't make it easier, especially for those dealing with multiple crises simultaneously that seem overwhelming and all at one time. But right now, we're being forced to see how little control we have to our lives. And we are being nudged to turn as we should to God and what God has in mind. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Likely that awareness is especially needed right now. This is a time truly for us to really look at ourselves, look at the world, be reminded that we're not God, not even close, and that the world doesn't have to be the way that it is. We're also reminded that for a body to be healthy, all the parts are needed. You hear me say this over and over again. We are all one body, and you can't be rejecting parts of the body because you don't approve, or because they're not like you, or because they don't measure up to your specifications. All the parts are needed. And to be healthy, we need to function as one, not divided, but as one. Ironically, one of the threats of the coronavirus that you may have heard about is when the body actually starts attacking itself. It's described in some cases as bodies at war with themselves, with many COVID-19 patients dying from their immune response to the virus and not from the virus itself. That's a pretty good analogy for what we're going through ourselves right now in this country. And it's never been more clear that now is a time when we must find ways to come together in loving God and in loving others. Finally, we're given a beautiful vision of a future time. A time freed from all pain and suffering, freed from death, a time when all the tears will be wiped away, when all the people of the world will be gathered for a feast beyond our imagining. And those who feel invisible right now, unimportant, different, outcasts, need to know all will be welcomed and loved. The question I have for us right now is, why do we wait? Why do we choose to be an obstacle? Why can't we be celebrating now? Why can't we come together now? One of the things I will miss this year is our annual Thanksgiving feast, which always makes me think of this feast mentioned by Isaiah. Everyone different, but all welcome. A time of joy and gratitude and celebration as family. Not necessarily biological family, but as God's family, as people of God. And that's what we need to continue to work for, my friends. We need to be those who help build bridges across our differences. We need to be committed to seeing that all God's children feel welcome and cared for and valued. We need to commit to what God calls us to, not what the culture dictates. My friends, this is not an easy time by any means, but let us wait patiently on the Lord with hope, trusting that better times truly do lie ahead and that God has not forgotten us and never will. Let us dedicate ourselves to truly living what we say we believe, even when it seems crazy and impossible. Let us pray. Dearest Lord, we confess that even as we bemoan our circumstances, there are times and ways that we can actually be part of the problem. We confess that too often we chase after the wrong things and ignore or reject what really matters. We confess that too often your gifts are right before us and we don't even see them. We confess our impatience and our judgment of others when you call us to be a family united. Help us to be those who trust you, those who wait on you with hope and patience, those who seek your will over our own. Help us to do all we can do to live out our faith and to be the change we long to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My friends, we all fall short. We all fail in spite of our best efforts. But know that God is there to help us, to pick us up, to see a new vision, to change our behaviors in ways that benefit all. Know, my friends, that in Jesus Christ we truly are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's continue now in prayer with Jill Duffield.
Lord of all, we are unable to gather in one place. We grieve our inability to sit beside one another, sing together, and pass the peace in person. Even as we lament what is lost when we cannot be in the same physical space, we rejoice that nothing separates us from the love of Jesus Christ, and there is no barrier that can prevent the Holy Spirit's coming to us. United in Christ, bound by the Spirit, Our community is real and strong, no matter where we are. Confident in your promise to never leave us alone, to hear us when we knock, and give to us when we ask, we are bold to pray for those on our hearts and minds. Send the Spirit's winds of comfort to surround those who mourn. Stay close to those unable to be near to those they love. Grant rest to the weary and give hope to those on the brink of despair. Kindle the Spirit's flame of reconciliation between those long estranged and peoples who call each other enemies. Bring healing to the sick and relief to those who suffer. Unleash the Spirit's power to bring justice to the oppressed. Possess us with your Spirit so that we cannot abide the exploitation of the weak or the neglect of the vulnerable. Let your Spirit loose in your church so that we can be bearers of your love in the world. On this day of Pentecost, when multiple languages resound through the universe and all kinds of people proclaim your mighty deeds, open the eyes of our hearts to take in all the glorious sounds, relish the beautiful sights, and rejoice in the precious diversity of creation. Your works and your words are too wonderful for us, and yet you enlist us to participate in your divine endeavor of salvation. We are astounded, perplexed, and bewildered, but eager through the gift of the Spirit to serve you with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. Come, Holy Spirit, engulf this frightening season with the life-giving, mercy-granting, joy-completing, justice-rolling deeds of our God. Open our mouths so that our lips may proclaim God's praise. Direct our actions so the world will know we are Christ's followers by our love. Make us one so that we can be ambassadors of reconciliation. Show us your vision and empower us to make your divine dreams our earthly reality. We make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Know that there is much we cannot understand and don't have answers to right now, but one thing we can trust in is God. You're going to hear me say this over and over. He is with us. He has not forgotten you. And though times may be hard, he will give you the strength you need, and he will bring us all to that feast. And now may you go in God's love, in God's mercy, in God's strength. In the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. And God bless you.